Hi, Precious Hearts. Welcome to Awaken Your Divine Potential. My name is Patricia Cota Robles, and I'm very grateful that you've tuned in with us today. This is really one of the most difficult radio shows I've done, simply because words cannot adequately express the wonder of what's been taking place on this planet, and specifically during the 22nd anniversary of harmonic convergence. Since the beginning of this year, the beings of light in the realms of illumined truth have been saying that 2009 is a turning point. They said it will be a year that is referred to throughout the ages as the cosmic moment when the collective masses of humanity changed our course of direction and reclaimed our divine birthright as beloved sons and daughters of God. Even though lightworkers around the world have heard these words, I don't believe anyone really grasped the magnitude of just what they meant. This is so important and so complex that I'm going to have to share it with you in two parts. So I'll share part one today, and then next week I'll share the conclusion of this information. Now as we begin our special time together, just breathe in and out deeply and rhythmically. Go within to the divinity of your heart and ask your God presence to take dominion of your thoughts, words, actions, and feelings. Ask this aspect of your own divinity to allow the flame of truth to resonate through your heart flame into this information so that you can hear it from your highest place, literally with new eyes and new ears, and hear it in perfect alignment with whatever your divine plan is. What I'm going to share with you is known through your I Am presence, and it's actually been recorded in the deepest recesses of your heart. This is not something new that you're learning through this radio program. It's something that you have personally experienced through the presence of God pulsating in your heart flame. So ask your I Am presence to help you remember on a conscious level the glory of this information, and allow the flame of truth within your heart to reveal to you the miracles that have transpired. For clarity, the Company of Heaven asked me to reiterate a little of the information that they have shared with humanity in the past. Their intent is to help all of us understand the groundwork that was laid in preparation for this moment. As you read these words, please ask your I Am presence to help you see with new eyes and hear with new ears. This information is glorious and has been a work in progress for millennia. At the beginning of the Piscean Age, a little over 2,000 years ago, our Father Mother God observed the progress of their sons and daughters evolving on Earth. This evaluation allowed them to determine what the greatest need of the hour was for our spiritual growth and for our next learning experience. This type of evaluation occurs at the dawn of each new age. It is a natural part of the evolutionary process in this school of learning. Our godparents knew that their precious children abiding on earth had truly lost our way. We were buried in the illusion of separation, and we had forgotten that we are divine sons and daughters of God. We were no longer conscious of the reality that all our Father, Mother, God have is ours. Humanity was experiencing the oppressive grip of unbearable pain and suffering. This was caused by our free will choices and the misuse of our creative faculties of thought and feeling, which had occurred as a result of our fall from grace eons ago. In the throes of our misery, we came to the erroneous conclusion that we are worthless sinners and worms in the dust. Unfortunately, since we become who we believe we are, this self-destructive belief was catapulting us into the depths of darkness and despair. It was clear that in order to reverse humanity's downward spiral into oblivion, we needed to remember the truth about who we are, and we needed to reclaim our divine potential. So a divine plan was set into motion, and a beloved Son of God was summoned from the great silence. This precious being is the one we know as Jesus the Christ. Jesus volunteered to embody on planet Earth to demonstrate to the children of God evolving here the truth of our own divinity. He was chosen to anchor, through his example, the archetype for humanity's return to Christ consciousness. A critical facet of his divine mission was to model the path of oneness and divine love, which is the only way home to the heart of God. During what is referred to as the lost 18 years, Jesus studied in the mystery schools of India, Tibet, and Egypt. At the age of 30, when it was time for him to begin his mission of anchoring the archetype for humanity's return to Christ consciousness, he demonstrated for all the world to see the very imperative first step. This was the return of the Divine Feminine, our Mother God, the Holy Spirit. The Divine Intelligence that we refer to as God is a radiant force field of pure light that encompasses every particle and wave of life in the whole of creation. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. God is the Alpha, I, and the Omega, Am, the beginning and the ending, the cosmic I Am. God is all that is. This divine intelligence pulsates with a masculine polarity and a feminine polarity. The masculine polarity is our Father God. This aspect of God radiates forth a sapphire blue frequency of light that infuses all creation with divine will, power, and authority. The feminine polarity is our Mother God. This aspect of God radiates forth a crystalline pink frequency of light that infuses all creation with divine love, adoration, and reverence for all life. The activity of our Father God is the outbreath of creation. The activity of our Mother God is the in-breath of creation. When they are in perfect balance, the sapphire blue frequency of our Father God and the crystalline pink frequency of our Mother God merge into an unfathomable frequency of divine light. This balanced pulsation of our Father Mother God is the sacred fire, known through all creation as the violet flame of God's infinite perfection. In the beginning, the sapphire blue flame of our Father God activated our left brain hemispheres and the power center within our throat chakras. The crystalline pink flame of our Mother God activated our right brain hemispheres and the love center within our heart chakras. When these two sacred fires merge within us in perfect balance, the resulting violet flame blazes up into our brain structures and activates our spiritual brain centers. These centers consist of our pituitary, pineal, and hypothalamus glands, and the ganglionic centers at the base of our brains. When these spiritual centers are fully activated, our crown chakras of enlightenment open to full breadth. The sacred fire associated with our crown chakras is yellow gold. It is a flame of wisdom or Christ consciousness. Only when the masculine and feminine polarities of our Father Mother God are balanced within us and our crown chakras are fully opened can we attain our full potential as sons and daughters of God. These three flames, the blue flame of power, the pink flame of love, and the gold flame of wisdom, are secured within the divinity of every person's heart. They form what is known as our immortal, victorious threefold flame. These flames were clearly seen pulsating within the heart of Jesus. That is why the Sacred Heart of Jesus is depicted with a flame blazing in its center. The most tragic facet of humanity's fall from grace is that when we began using our thoughts, words, feelings, and actions, we created patterns of imperfection, which resulted in pain and suffering. This created an imbalance within our immortal, victorious threefold flames. These flames represent the true meaning of the Holy Trinity, the blue flame of our Father God's power, the pink flame of our Mother God's love, the Holy Spirit, and the gold flame of the Son or Daughter of God's wisdom, the Christ. When we started imbalancing our thoughts, words, actions, and dealings that resulted in pain and suffering, we closed our heart chakras so that we would not feel pain so intensely. This horrific event blocked the portal through which the divine love of our Mother God, the Holy Spirit, entered the physical plane. This event forced our Mother God to withdraw her love to a mere trickle of its original influence in our lives. This imbalance caused the hemisphere of our right brains to atrophy, which in turn caused our spiritual brain centers to deactivate and our crown chakras to close. We lost Christ consciousness and the awareness that we are divine sons and daughters of God. We also lost the awareness of our Mother God. In desperation, we clung to a distorted perception of the Holy Spirit. We knew that the Holy Spirit was known as the Holy Comforter and the love nature of God. But because we no longer knew the truth of the existence of our Mother God, we thought the Holy Spirit was a masculine aspect of our Father God. For the first time, we began using our masculine power without the balance of our feminine love. This caused us to become aggressive, warlike, and domineering when we were embodied in masculine bodies. And it caused us to suppress our power by allowing ourselves to be oppressed and dominated when we were embodied in female bodies. We can observe the dire results of this extreme imbalance to this very day. The reversal of this tragic situation, which involved the anchoring of the archetype for the return of our Mother God, was the imperative first step of Jesus' divine mission. At the age of 30, beloved Jesus came to the banks of the Jordan River and immersed himself in the sacred water element. Water represents the emotional strata for the earth, as well as the emotional bodies for humanity. Once he was in the water, Jesus participated in a divine ceremony through which he anchored the archetype for the return of our Mother God on behalf of all humanity. In that ceremony, John the Baptist symbolically washed away the sins of the world by baptizing Jesus with the love of our Mother God, the Holy Spirit. We've all probably seen pictures of Jesus standing in the Jordan River with the dove of the Holy Spirit descending into his crown chakra. In that moment, Jesus' right brain hemisphere was brought into perfect balance with his left brain hemisphere. His spiritual brain centers were activated and his crown chakra was open to full breath. When this occurred, Jesus became the Christ, grown to full stature, and his mission of modeling humanity's divine potential as beloved children of God began in earnest. For the next 3 years, Jesus modeled the path of oneness and divine love that each of us must follow in order to reclaim our divine birthright as sons and daughters of God. The path of oneness and divine love is the only way that the children of God will return to the heart of our Father and Mother. Jesus demonstrated our divine potential through the various miracles that he performed, and he clearly revealed the oneness of all life through his dedication and his reverence for all life. Much of Jesus' mission has been misunderstood. He did not come to establish a new religion. He came to remind every man, woman, and child that we are divine children of God. His mission was to demonstrate this truth by the way he lived his life. Many believe that Jesus alone is the divine child of God, the only begotten Son. They believe that he came to do everything for us because we are such lost and depraved souls. They have the misconception that if we just speak the words that affirm that we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, he will save us. This distorted belief is, of course, based in humanity's deeply ingrained feelings of unworthiness. But it is certainly not what beloved Jesus taught us. Jesus' message was that the divinity within each of us, the Christ, is the true child of God, the only begotten son or daughter. He said throughout his ministry, "These things I do, you shall do, and even greater things than these shall you do." There are some other very clear statements in the Bible that also reflect this truth. And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Then in Romans 8:14-17, it is stated, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." At the age of 33, Jesus accomplished the final facets of his mission. 33 is the master number that reflects the Christ made manifest. There's a lot of discussion at this time as to whether Jesus was actually crucified and whether or not he resurrected his body. The Company of Heaven has confirmed that both of these events were vitally important to the fulfillment of Jesus' divine plan. Contrary to the guilt-inducing things we are often told, Jesus was not tortured and crucified in order to atone for humanity's sins. This concept comes from the belief that we are worthless sinners and that we are so lowly someone outside of ourselves must come and save us. This belief perpetuates the notion that we are incapable of saving ourselves. But actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, our Father, Mother, God gave each of us the gift of free will, which means that no one is allowed to do this for us. We lost the awareness of our own divinity through our free will choices and the misuse of our creative faculties of thought and feeling. Consequently, the only way that we will return to Christ consciousness is through our own free will choices and our own endeavors, and by following the path of oneness and divine love that Jesus demonstrated for us. Jesus agreed to be crucified for another reason. He agreed to be crucified in order to prove to the world that there is nothing the fallen human ego can do that will destroy the divinity within us. His crucifixion and resurrection proved that even if one's physical body is abused, tortured, and crucified, the Christ within is eternal and lives on in a light body. It is said that Jesus forgave the sins of the world, and in a way he did. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, a centurion pierced his side with a sword. His intent was to accelerate Jesus' death and to put him out of his misery. As Jesus' blood and life force flowed onto the earth, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." In that instance, through the grace of God, our Father, Mother God allowed the law of forgiveness to be initiated for the first time as the order of the new day on earth. Prior to that moment, the children of God were subject solely to the law of karma, or the law of cause and effect. After the law of forgiveness was established on earth, we had another option. Humanity could ask for forgiveness for the misuse of our precious gift of life and be forgiven. We are still subject to the law of cause and effect, but now when we recognize the error of our ways, we can ask for forgiveness. This allows us to be forgiven without having to personally experience everything that we deliberately or inadvertently created through the misuse of our thoughts, words, feelings, and actions. It is very important for us to understand that we are not forgiven just because Jesus was here, as some believe. We are forgiven if we recognize our mistakes, ask for forgiveness, and change our behavior patterns. After Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection into his light body, he had one more very important truth to reveal to humanity. It was obvious that the children of God had been beaten down into a consciousness of unworthiness. Jesus realized that because of this low opinion of ourselves, the chances were great that we would misunderstand the example that he modeled for us, the example which we must each follow if we are going to return to Christ consciousness. Jesus knew that our lack of trust in ourselves was overwhelming, and that the potential was great that we would misconstrue his mission by believing that he had actually saved us, and that he had done for us the very things that he came to demonstrate that we must do for ourselves. So the final facet of beloved Jesus' mission was to clearly reveal to humanity that he cannot do this for us, and that we are not saved simply because he was here. So Jesus left an example to prove that no matter how dedicated we are to him and his teachings, we are each responsible for our return to Christ consciousness. In order to accomplish this facet of the divine plan, Jesus invoked the assistance of his beloved disciples. After Jesus' resurrection, he remained on earth for 40 days. During that time, he demonstrated to the disciples what it was like to experience Christ consciousness. Jesus expanded his light body and lifted the disciples up in consciousness so that they could know what it was like to become the Christ. In this elevated state, the disciples remembered their divine heritage as beloved children of God, and they were able to perform all of the miracles that Jesus had performed. They quickly learned the lessons that would enable them to continue the mission that had been started by their beloved brother. They prepared to spread the truth of humanity's divinity and to teach the path of oneness and divine love that would lead to Christ consciousness for every evolving soul. At the end of the 40 days, it was time for Jesus to ascend into the next phase of his mission. When the heavens opened and Jesus ascended into the realms of illumined truth. It was no longer possible for him to sustain the disciples in the elevated frequency of Christ consciousness. Since the disciples had not attained Christ consciousness through their own endeavors, once Jesus withdrew his light body that had been sustaining them, they began to falter and become afraid. The disciples realized that in spite of their great love for Jesus and their dedication to him and his mission, he could not save them or sustain them in Christ consciousness. This was something that each of them would have to accomplish on his own. The most Jesus could do was anchor the archetypes for humanity's return to Christ consciousness and demonstrate the path of oneness and divine love that we must each follow. So for 10 days, the disciples struggled with their predicament. On the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, the day that we now call Pentecost, the disciples realized what they must do in order to attain and sustain Christ consciousness for themselves. On that day, the disciples entered what was called the upper room. This, in fact, was a higher state of consciousness that they each attained by consecrating their lives to the path of oneness and divine love. In that elevated state of consciousness, each of the disciples opened his heart and from the depths of his being invoked the return of our Mother God through a baptism of the Holy Spirit. This time, the baptism by our Mother God was by sacred fire instead of water. In that instant, the disciples' right brain hemispheres were brought into perfect balance with their left brain hemispheres. Their spiritual brain centers were activated, and their crown chakras were open to full breadth. We've all seen depictions of the disciples after their baptism by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. They are shown with a flame pulsating from their crown chakra, reflecting that they had regained Christ consciousness and that their mission of spreading Jesus' teachings to the world was at hand. On that holy day of Pentecost, the disciples were given what has been called the gift of tongues. This is another aspect of the Piscean Age that has often been misunderstood. The gift of tongues did not mean that the Holy Spirit would speak through the disciples in unintelligible syllables and sounds for someone to try and decipher. The gift of tongues gave the disciples the ability to travel the face of the earth and to teach the truth of humanity's divinity and the path of oneness and divine love to the peoples of the world in their own language. This eliminated the problem of language barriers and ensured the clarity of Jesus' message. Even with all of the groundwork that was carefully laid during the Piscean Age, Jesus knew that it would probably be millennia before humanity would really understand his message and reclaim our divine birthright as beloved children of God. He confirmed this knowing in Revelations when he stated, "In the day of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be fulfilled, and time will be no more." He said this would involve the second coming of the Christ. The predominant influence flooding the planet during the 2,000 years of the Piscean Age was the sixth solar aspect of deity. The sacred fire is ruby gold, and it reflects the divine qualities of peace, healing, devotional worship, ministering grace, the Christ working through the personality, and the divine image embodied in flesh. These influences were the perfect support that Jesus needed in order to accomplish his divine mission. The Piscean Age was the day of the sixth angel. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace because of these influences. And his symbol is the fish, because he was the avatar of the Piscean Age, which is represented by the fish. So now we fast forward to the day of the seventh angel, who is beginning to sound. This angel is heralding the dawn of the new age of Aquarius. There is a lot of misinformation about the term New Age. Let me briefly share with you what a New Age really is. It is not a new religion, a movement, a philosophy, or the work of the devil, as some are professing. The dawn of the New Age is nothing more than a span of time. As our Earth revolves on her axis every 24 hours, we experience a new day. As she orbits around the sun every 365 and a fourth days, we experience a new year. On this orbit around the sun, the Earth passes through the force fields of the natural constellations, which form our zodiac. During this annual orbit, the Earth and all life evolving upon her are held in the light and influence of these constellations for 28 to 31 days. These are our familiar sun cycles, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, etc. In addition to these very obvious time frames, the Earth is part of a much larger celestial event that is called the precession of the equinox. This rotation of the Earth's axis creates a counterclockwise movement through the 12 constellations in our solar system. This slow rotation of Earth's axis takes between 24,000 and 26,000 years to complete. The Earth's movement is measured at the point where the sun passes the equator on the vernal equinox. This point moves about 52 seconds per year. So it takes about 70 years for the Earth to move 1 degree. During this rotation, the Earth is held in the embrace of each constellation for approximately 30 degrees, or 2,000 plus years. These 2,000-year cycles are what we refer to as the various ages. The dawn of a new age is a period of time that lasts between 150 and 300 years. It is a window of opportunity during the precession of the equinox, when the energies of the age we are leaving begin to ebb, and the energies of the constellation that we are moving into have not yet taken hold. It is during this lull of energy that our Father, Mother, God evaluate the progress of their children and determine the greatest need of the hour for our spiritual growth. Since the latter part of the 1800s, we have been experiencing the dawn of the new age of Aquarius. The predominant influence for all life on Earth during this 2,000-year cycle is the seventh solar aspect of deity. This sacred fire is the violet flame, which reflects the perfect balance of the polarities of our Father, Mother, God. It also reverberates with the divine qualities of God's infinite perfection, mercy, compassion, forgiveness, transmutation, liberty, justice, the power of invocation, divine ceremony, and victory. It is because of the astronomical power and might contained within the frequencies of the violet flame, that beloved Jesus knew that in the day of the seventh angel, humanity would at long last know how to regain Christ consciousness. This is what Jesus was referring to when he spoke of the second coming of the Christ and the mystery of God being fulfilled. He was revealing the time when the sons and daughters of God evolving on earth would reverse the adverse effects of our fall from grace. This would be the time when humanity would consecrate our lives to the path of oneness and divine love by opening our heart chakras, invoking the return of our Mother God, and receiving a baptism of the Holy Spirit by sacred fire. This would be the time when the sons and daughters of God would reclaim our divine potential and become the Christ grown to full stature. The time when we would accept our true reality as the only begotten sons and daughters of God. Because of humanity's feelings of unworthiness, many people believe that it is actually blasphemous for us to think that anyone but Jesus could become the Christ. But in truth, Jesus came to reveal to us that every child of God has the divine potential of becoming the Christ. This does not mean that everyone will be just like Jesus. Every child of God is unique, and we will each have our own individual way of living and expressing our divine potential as the Christ. For over 100 years, the violet flame has been building in momentum on this planet. This caused a gradual awakening to take place within the hearts and minds of spiritually oriented people all over the world. Then, on August 15th, 16th, and 17th in 1987, we experienced a global phenomenon that was referred to as harmonic convergence. This event involved an influx of divine light that caused a quantum shift of energy, vibration, and consciousness for every particle of life evolving on this sweet earth. Since that cosmic moment, the earth has been moving up the spiral of evolution at warp speed. This has inspired myriad activities of light, which have involved the unified efforts of both embodied lightworkers and the entire company of heaven. These events have accelerated the awakening of people who are seeking truth, and those who are looking for answers that will reveal their true purpose and reason for being. These activities of light have resulted in miracles beyond the greatest expectations of heaven, and they have catapulted humanity toward the fulfillment of our divine destiny. Now it is time for the next step. It is time for humanity en masse to awaken to the truth of who we are and why we are here. It is time for every child of God to reclaim our divine birthright and to regain Christ consciousness. It is at long last time for the second coming of the Christ, the return of Christ consciousness within the hearts and minds of every evolving soul. In 2008, we reached a critical mass of light on this planet that allowed the patterns of perfection for the new earth to be anchored in the physical plane. This event took place during the 21st anniversary of harmonic convergence. Once the patterns of perfection for the new earth were securely anchored, the I Am presence of every man, woman, and child on earth was given permission by our Father, Mother, God to expand our immortal, victorious threefold flames. When the expansion of the divinity in every heart was God victoriously accomplished, our Father, Mother, God granted a cosmic dispensation designed to help even the most recalcitrant souls remember their divinity and the path of oneness and divine love that would lead to Christ consciousness. This extremely rare dispensation gave the I Am presence of every person on earth permission to intervene in our awakening process in an unprecedented way. Our godparents determined that the greatest need of the hour was for the children of God to remember our divinity and the oneness of all life. To assist us with this critical facet of our awakening process, a divine plan was set into motion. Our Father Mother God issued a divine fiat requiring that the temple of the first initiation in the heavenly realms be open to all humanity for a 12-month period in order to accelerate our illumination and enlightenment. Beginning in August of 2008 and continuing through the 22nd anniversary of Harmonic Convergence in 2009, our I Am presence was allowed to escort us in our finer bodies while we slept at night into the temple of the first initiation. There we were taught about the oneness of all life, about our divinity, and the path of love and reverence for life that will return us to Christ consciousness. There is no such thing as our soul being unconscious, so we always leave our bodies when we sleep at night, or any time that we are asleep or unconscious. But this time it was different. This time, for this 12-month cycle, the I Am presence of every man, woman, and child had a special mission. For this 12-month cycle, we were all escorted into the temple of the first initiation, which we were clearly taught the process of Christ consciousness. The first initiation is the initiation of oneness and reverence for all life, and it is the path that Jesus modeled for us during the Piscean Age. He did so in preparation for this very moment. This rare dispensation was granted to humanity's I Am presence by our Father Mother God because of the urgency of the hour. Due to the miracles that have taken place over the past 2 decades, every child of God evolving on earth has at inner levels made the choice to do what is necessary to move forward into the fifth dimension. The problem is that there are many people who do not realize on a conscious level that they have made this choice and agreed to do whatever is necessary to make this shift of consciousness. Consequently, as the human miscreations that they have deliberately or inadvertently created throughout their earthly sojourns are pushed to the surface so that they can transmute them into light, they are becoming afraid and feeling overwhelmed by their earthly experiences. The intent of the cosmic dispensation granted by our Father Mother God is to help with this situation. When we attain Christ consciousness, we see with new eyes and we hear with new ears. From this higher perspective, we are able to recognize new solutions to the maladies existing all around us, and we understand the importance of handling life's challenges from a consciousness of oneness and reverence for all life. Our Father Mother God knew of the unprecedented opportunities that would be presented to humanity this year in 2009. And they allowed this final step of preparation in order to help the masses of humanity take a quantum leap into the light. This is something that we each have done, God victoriously, and it is what we are now beginning to experience at a tangible level. Next week I will share with you the rest of what has taken place. But for the remainder of our radio show today, I want us to participate in the important, powerful activities of light to help integrate these miracles that are taking place. Tomorrow is a very important number numerically. It is September 9th, 2009, which is 090909. This 999 frequency opens a portal of light that is accelerating all of the miracles that have taken place so far this year. So I want for all of us to join together in consciousness so that we can integrate this knowledge of the first initiation that each of us has received during the 12-month cycle from August 2008 through August of 2009. I want for all of us to join together and empower this influx of light that will take place tomorrow. We can help by setting the stage and energizing this force field. Please join with me now and with the light workers all over the world who are joining in consciousness with us for this visualization and affirmation. Breathe in deeply and feel yourself going within to the divinity of your heart. Feel yourself experiencing the wonder of your full divine potential. I am going within to the divinity of my heart, the secret place of the Most High Living God. Here I kneel before the altar of love and offer my all in service as I surrender my lower human consciousness to the full divine potential of my divine Christ consciousness. I feel my I Am presence taking dominion and sustaining me in this new level of enlightenment. Beloved Father, Mother, God, I ask that you now expand the flame of transfiguring divine love that is pulsating within every person's heart flame. Create from this sacred fire a sacred heart of pure divine love that envelops the entire planet Earth in preparation to receive the monumental influx of light that we will receive tomorrow on the 999 influx and frequency. This force field of light, this magnetic heart of pure divine love, is magnetizing the love of God from every ascended level of being in the universe. This unfathomable influx of light is pouring through the consciousness of the Christ, now blazing through every man, woman, and child. It is expanding our planetary cause of manifesting divine love within our hearts. Our Mother God and all of the feminine aspects of deity throughout infinity are expanding this love, expanding it through our consciousness of our right brain hemisphere. These beings of light are sending forth now a clarion call, invoking the legions of love to come forth from the great, great silence. I experience 12 magnificent solar archangels from the frequencies of pure transfiguring divine love now descending into the atmosphere of Earth from the great, great silence. These powerful archangels take their strategic positions around the planet as they willingly prepare to assist in this activity of light. The solar archangels are stationed equal distances around the Earth's equator. And as one unified force of pure divine love, they breathe in the transfiguring divine love from our Mother God and from the very core of creation into the heart flame of every man, woman, and child on earth. The influx of divine love flowing through every heart flame creates a symphony of love that ensouls and interpenetrates our beloved Mother Earth and all her life. It creates the sacred space for the expansion of Christ consciousness through the hearts and minds of every evolving soul. This influx of divine love is now penetrating into the fifth dimensional solar heart chakra of every person on the planet. And the I Am presence of every man, woman, and child becomes a PowerPoint of light unified in consciousness with the Christ and the I Am presence of every other person on earth. This aspect of our divinity in-breathes, absorbs, assimilates, and expands this force field of love through humanity, the elemental kingdom, the angelic kingdom, and the entire atmosphere of Earth. It intensifies the magnificent heart of divine love that is cradling this planet now. The I Am presence within every person realizes that right here and right now, through the highest level of Christ consciousness, they are becoming the open door for this resplendent gift of divine love from our Mother God and all of the aspects of the divine feminine and the 12 solar archangels of love encircling this planet. At inner levels, every person on the planet is experiencing this force field of divine love. Through the I Am presence, every person is seeing the scintillating colors of love, smelling the fragrance of love, and hearing the cosmic tones and moving melodies of love. Through this activity of light, we are all truly love in action. We are collectively changing the core vibration of the primal light substance, which has gone into creating the present negative conditions that are being pushed to the surface now to be healed and transmuted into light. Instantly, they are embraced in the frequency of our Mother God's love and lifted into a new level of the violet flame. Through the love of our Father, Mother, God, the feminine aspects of deity throughout infinity, the 12 solar archangels, and the I Am presence of every human being, we are the cause of this force field of divine love, now anchored on earth. Together this sacred and holy day, we have set in place the basic spiritual forces of divine love over which humanity will ascend into higher frequencies of perfection, out of our long exile in darkness, into the fifth dimensional realms of light. We understand and know that the opening of the portal of the 999 gateway will catapult this planet and all her life further up the spiral of evolution, into the fifth dimensional frequencies of God's infinite light. According to our wisdom and our understanding, we consecrate our hearts this sacred and holy day to hold the sacred space for this ascension into the frequencies of divine love and gratitude through the power of God's infinite light. Beloved God presence, expand this feeling of loving gratitude through me now as I experience this momentum and open my heart to the infinite perfection of my Father, Mother, God. I am grateful. I am grateful. I am eternally grateful. I now return my consciousness to the room, and I become aware of my physical body as I allow these divine energies to be assimilated in my physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies. Beloved ones, I want to thank you with all my heart for sharing this sacred hour with me today. Please tune in with us again next week as we continue sharing the incredible activities of life that are unfolding for each and every one of us through the divinity within our own heart flames. My name is Patricia Cota Robles, and you're listening to Awaken Your Divine Potential.